I tried my first cigarette when I was 15, egged on by friends in the school break, and it took me another 15 years to kick my 20-a-day habit. My reading habit began much earlier, when I was 4 or 5, and from that first hit, I knew this was a drug I could never give up. By the time I was 7 or 8, I was handling a 4-a-week addiction. Every Saturday morning, my dad took me to the local public library and left me in the junior section to make the agonising yet delicious choice, which was supposed to see me through the week. 4 was the maximum number of books allowed. Often I finished my stash before the week was over and had to bite my nails feverishly or reread what I had already read before my next fix. We had few books in the house, beyond some uninviting Reader's Digest titles and a set of children's encyclopedias, since my dad did not believe in buying books when they were available for free. Never since have I enjoyed reading with such pure greed or such totally immersive pleasure. Apart from school hours and the distractions of being lured out to play marbles or hopscotch in the street, I gave up my time and attention completely to this book world. I lived in a half-real, half-fantasy place, embarking on adventures and imagining conversations with characters from The Famous Five, Ballet Shoes and Narnia, even though their worlds were far removed from my own. Reading was a thirst I could not slake, an appetite I could never fully satisfy. The addiction continued through my teens, despite the pressures of homework and cigarette-toting friends encroaching on my time, though now I found my private pleasures in historical novels and science fiction, new worlds just as alien as Narnia. Nowadays, reading for sheer pleasure is a guilty thrill snatched in small bites between other, more important jobs. Most of my reading time is consumed by work demands. As a non-fiction writer, I wade through piles of books on obscure 18th century customs, bizarre Victorian medical therapies, or desperate First World War experiences for research purposes. My spare time is often taken up reading books I'm reviewing. And then there's the newspapers to catch up on, magazines to read, social media to scroll through. Time for books I've chosen myself out of pure indulgence, novels in other words, is a rare commodity. Now I am lucky if I get through 4 books in 4 months. Yet always, ever since I walked into that junior library, I've had a book on the go, a book waiting on my bedside table, a book waiting in my head. I can no more imagine a day without a book than a day without breathing. My choices are shaped by serendipity, recommendations from friends and the media, but I still employ that childhood sweet shop approach of chancing upon an author I like, then consuming all her or his books one after another until they are gone. Sadly, I can no longer look forward to any more books by Graham Greene, Beryl Bainbridge or Penelope Fitzgerald. But I still wait eagerly for the next Ian McEwan, Margaret Atwood and Laurie Moore. The bliss of devouring 4 books for sheer pleasure in a single week with time to spare is now confined to holidays. And I watch my 19-year-old daughter consuming books in a voracious frenzy with envy.